Today's webinar is the latest in our freelance business system series. And today's webinar is you plus market equals money. Now, today is the quote unquote marketing department section of our journey through all of the different core functions or departments, whatever you want to call them, that make up every single business. And the reason that I chose the title for today is because I think we forget often the market part of the marketing agenda here, because people get really into all these activities that can be part of marketing, whether that's social media or pitching or familiarizing yourself with magazines, whatever that is. But we forget this idea of the marketplace or the market in which you operate. And that the first step of any person doing any kind of marketing in any capacity in any company, including your own freelance business, is to understand what that market is. So for instance, if we look kind of at this idea of marketing, the term, this is that very, very classic. It goes back, you know, really to the dawn of time. Every ancient city that I visited has a plaza, just like any Renaissance city, any medieval city that you ever visit. There's a plaza. And there were once upon a time market days where the farmers would come in, different shopkeepers would set up, whatever it is, but the tables of some kind, or carts as the case may be, would be set up in that square and people would display their wares. And so marketing is the act of going to the marketplace with your best products and setting them up in a way where hopefully someone will purchase them. Part of going to the market is also thinking about how your display is going to be presented, what you're going to say to people to get them to stop at your table, right? But I find this idea of thinking, particularly in the digital age, of yourself in this kind of physical marketplace where there is another cart right next to you, hopefully not selling the same thing, can really help people to drill down on what they need to be focusing on in their marketing, what they're leaving out in their marketing, and a lot of the factors that we're going to talk about today, whether that's thinking about the competition, doing research, and so on and so forth. So the closest equivalent I can really think of today in terms of that traditional market setup, which of course you'll see if you go to, you know, any sort of craft fair or a farmer's market. So there's examples of that. Some of you may have found yourself in some of those, but one that I think a lot of you guys probably have seen more recently is where the sponsor set up in a conference, right? So some conferences actually even go so far as calling that like the exhibitor marketplace or something to that extent. So whenever I go to one of those, I am there early or I'm looking at floor plans or whatever the case may be to figure out what are the entrance and exit points in this market. Where are people going to be having the heaviest traffic of walking by? Where's the food and drink? It might be useful to set up next to the food and drink, but people might also be distracted. People might leave cups and things like that on your table. So even just the physical location in a type of market like that is just as important as how you have your table set up, what you're saying when people walk by, and so on and so forth. So thinking about this in these concrete terms to start with is going to really help as we go into these more higher level different things. And in particular today, I'm going to talk about what is the big marketing picture. We have a lot of different content on different specific types of marketing, whether that's how to do letters of introduction for jobs you find online or for travel trade magazines or things like that. And I'm going to kind of just give a little brief kind of disclaimer about what we're looking at today and how that's different from some of the other marketing content that we have. And then we're going to go into this idea of how there's certain parts of marketing for kind of every single company except freelance writers that we tend to leave out, and how those things can work for us, how you can use them to your advantage, and particularly how you can maybe find some places that people might be marketing to in a more classic setting of a company that freelance writers aren't really looking out for, and how you can take advantage of that. Okay, then we're going to look at sort of what are the core functions of the typical marketing team. How does that really work, and how does it work for freelance writers? And then we're going to wrap up, because nothing on marketing would be complete without a marketing plan, right? We're going to wrap up with a really basic sort of guided walkthrough of how to set up a basic marketing plan for yourself. And I say basic not because I mean that this is like the starting point and you should add more. I mean because one of the things I talk to people about a lot, I just had a call about this today, actually kind of too, if you think about it, is this idea that things happen to all of us. Sometimes very large things happen, such as deaths in the family. But also sometimes you're just on a trip and, you know, you don't have internet unexpectedly. You know, get a really horrible cold, whatever that is. And having this more core basic marketing plan at your disposal, as opposed to something with a lot of bells and whistles, is going to help you to get back on track when those things happen. And so that's what I want to give you today, rather than, as we have in some of the other webinars, just a lot of ideas of different things you can do to kind of pick and choose. I know there's already a lot of marketing activities that you can do for anybody, for any business today. There's just an insane number of marketing activities. So I'm going to give you a plan that's going to be resilient no matter what you choose. And in some of these webinars, like the one on legal systems or finance and accounting or human resources, I gave a lot of very specific, tangible ideas, tactics, strategies, concepts, you know, like pick and choose menu of here's some different places to start, pick whichever one appeals to you. But as I mentioned kind of earlier on already in the intro for this webinar, we're all drowning in potential marketing we could do, right? Should I be spending an hour a day following editors on Twitter and reading the articles that they've written recently and commenting back about how much I love their writing or whatever, right? Like there's like so many different things that we could do. People often fall down a rabbit hole of reading magazines, right? Because you need to get to know the markets that you're pitching. And so they might, you know, spend several hours a day or a week at the library at home reading magazines, but no pitches are going out. So one of the things that I'm going to do in this webinar, which is a little bit different than the other webinars that we've done in this series that I kind of alluded to earlier on, is I'm going to focus on this really essential core of what marketing is, because I would love for people who feel like they could be doing more with their marketing or like they're struggling with their marketing, whether that's on the side of getting it done or getting results, to feel like they have a touchstone to go back to. Like, you know what you really should be doing. If you get off track, whether it's procrastination or something going on in your life, or maybe, you know, you had an unexpected assignment come up or something, I want you to be able to like recenter as soon as you have time set aside for marketing and know exactly right away what to pick up and start working on. So in that vein, let's look at what exactly a marketing department does. Okay, what is the role? What is the overall function? We're actually going to spend a little bit more time on this sort of definition segment, if you will, and we're going to flesh out than we usually do in some of the other webinars. And that's because, like I said, to me, I think that the way to kind of machete through all of the options that are in front of you, and I see this work not just, you know, in travel writing, but with other business owners that I know that have had an online business that's really successful, but also with travel writers who are doing anything from whether they're specifically focusing on writing for big magazines or they know that they want to be an influencer, whatever it is, I see in every different way that you can earn money that having these things clear is really what makes a huge difference. And part of it is because of all the information that we're drowning in today. I was thinking of doing a little slide on all of the different content-related buzzwords, or not content, but marketing-related buzzwords that are out there right now, of which there are a crap ton. And one of the ones that I came up with, or that came up on this list that I was looking at, was the concept of content shock. Okay, and this is overwhelm that people feel from the amount of content out there, the amount of content marketing. And I know that as writers, particularly if you're working with companies, or even if you work in an editorial setting and you sometimes do sponsored content, content marketing, so we've done a couple webinars on this where I really dive into what content marketing is, so I don't want to spend too much on this, but content marketing is a form of marketing which is done through the dissemination of content, whether that's the written word, videos, photos, it could even sometimes be experiential content like events, different things like that. But I know that content marketing is a big part of what a lot of us do. And I want you to kind of set aside any buzzwords or preconceived notions of the activities of marketing just for today, just for this hour. You can start thinking more about them kind of at the end as we get into tactics and your plan. But just for now, set aside all the buzzwords, all the trends, all the advertainment, advertorial, whatever. Set all that aside for a second. So here's what marketing really is. Here's what marketing really does, or at least what marketing really ought to be doing. I always aim to put these definitions in a specific order for a specific reason. And the one on top here, I really started with because I'm hoping that this will kind of shake up a little bit what you think of when you think of marketing. So we've got on here, marketing is the study, important here, we're going to come back to this a lot, and management, okay, so not just doing things and hoping for results, of exchange relationships. I really like this. This is actually from Wikipedia. Wikipedia with the win for my favorite definition today. So study and management of exchange relationships. Now, what does study mean? It could be looking at past ones. It could be studying how your own efforts are going. There's a lot of different things that come under study, and we'll see those throughout the webinar today. Management. Again, this is planning, making tweaks as you go, following the plan, evaluating the plan, management, okay? Active involvement in the organization and results of, okay? Of exchange relationships. I love this. Study and management of exchange relationships. So you can literally just take these six words and when you tell yourself, oh, I'm doing marketing right now, or I'm not working on, you know, this article or my content marketing or my novel or spending time with my child or my significant other or my dog. Am I currently involved in the study or management of an exchange relationship? We talked a lot last week or in the last webinar in the series rather on sales about this idea of really hearkening back to when you need new business, that means you are involved in working in sales. And that means you need to be converting and closing and looking at what is going to convert, close, be an assignment, put money in your bank account quickly. Okay. And I want to, again, take what we're talking about with marketing today and really focus it back to this idea of the exchange relationships. It's not exposure. We're going to talk about exposure next week when we talk about promotion or rather in the next webinar. Okay. This definition continues. Marketing is the business process of creating relationships with and satisfying customers, okay? The business process, again, this whole series is about processes, right? I know it just keeps coming back to that. But then again, the business process of customers, okay? So I have another slide where we're gonna look at how sometimes marketing can involve other people, but I want to remember this. It's the process of creating relationship with customers. So as we get further on in the webinar today, I'm hoping we'll kind of see through some of the slides that we're looking at that it might be that some of the people that you have been spending some marketing time on in one way, shape, or another are not necessarily people that you're super interested in having as customers. And so what I find sometimes if people are sort of lollygagging on or just, you know, keep trying to find other things to do besides doing their marketing, it's often because the people that they're going after are not really the people that they want to have as their customers. They're people that they feel like they should be pitching for XYZ reason because they went on this trip and they need to place that story and these magazines look like places that'll take that story. But they're not necessarily the customers that you are interested in creating a relationship with. All right. So this next definition here I have is less about the whole department as a whole, so much as what a marketing director does, because each of you is your own marketing director, right? So a marketing director oversees marketing campaigns and branding techniques for a company or organization, from brainstorming ideas to implementing large-scale plans. They conduct research and analyze trends in the product or service offered by the company to develop marketing strategies. Now again, remember I talked about the study of exchange relationships, so trends in both what you're offering, which would be article ideas or magazine ideas or blog posts or social media posts, whatever that is, and the marketplace as well are a really important part of that study, and we're going to talk about that more today. Now, the other thing in this definition that I found really important for us to look at is this idea of a marketing campaign. Anybody who's in coaching knows that I typically, if possible, depending on like where you're at with your available time and whatnot, try to organize whatever we're doing into something that could kind of conceivably called a campaign. So if you are pitching to trade magazines, you're sending letters of introduction, I encourage you to send a certain number of those all out at the same time and see what hit rate you get. What is the percentage of people who respond to you? What is the percentage of people who respond maybe versus yes versus no? Because as soon as we have that data point, that allows us to plan the next, you know, siege, barrage, whatever you want to call it, campaign better. Because we know how many now as a baseline LOIs, letters of introduction, we need to send in order to achieve a certain number of yeses, at least theoretically, from the first batch that you sent with that set of letters and that set of customers, okay? So the same thing for pitching articles from a trip. So let's say you go on a trip and you have, 10 like pretty solid lines of inquiry you're going to do for article ideas. I encourage you, if some of those are going to be front of book ideas that could work for a lot of different publications, ditto with feature ideas, as we saw in the Idea to Pitch webinar, those ones tend to be the most flexible for reutilization across different marketplaces. Send all of the magazines that you're pitching that same idea to at the same time. See what happens, okay? Because then it's going to allow you, first and foremost, to best use, the fact that you're familiar with this article idea right now and shaping the pitch for all these different publications, but it allows you to run a campaign. It allows you to see how on you are with those matches, with the quality of your pitch writing, and so on and so forth. People who say that they, pitched magazines and it didn't go very well, and then they kind of stopped and did something else, it tends to be that they're sending out a pitch here and there, not usually to the same people. They're writing pitches at different times in different headspaces. The pitches have very, very different quality and very different issues going on with them. And it's really hard for me or them or anybody for that matter to draw any conclusions for them about what to do next. So the beauty of running a more organized campaign, again, right, the management of exchange relationships. So the beauty of running a more organized campaign is that it allows you to figure out what to do next, based on how it goes. If it goes well, great, do more of that. If it doesn't go well, great, now we know what not to do. Maybe we have some ideas what to tweak. Okay, and we'll talk more about that at the end of this call. So next one here, the marketing department is a company's, in a company is generally responsible for identifying, attracting, and retaining customers. They manage these responsibilities through a combination of duties in the areas of research, promotion, and customer service. Now, this is interesting because obviously we have another webinar that's on sort of PR for yourself as a writer, which I know sounds like a weird thing, and we'll get into it. But PR tends to stand for public relations, but I've actually titled that webinar Promotion, Promotion, Promotion. And you'll see that promotion comes up sometimes in today's marketing webinar. And it's interesting because we'll get more into this in the next in the promotion, promotion, promotion webinar. But the idea is that there's a difference between promoting your business and promoting your products and services to people who are potentially gonna buy them, okay? So that's kind of the line to think about there, and we'll talk a little bit more about that today. So this idea, though, of identifying, attracting, and retaining customers, this is one of those things that you could, again, like study and management of exchange relationships right on your wall. Am I currently identifying, attracting, or retaining customers? Okay, because this is what it all boils down to. And if you're doing something like reading magazines and you've already identified that this magazine is a potential customer, that it seems like a quality of writing you can achieve, it seems like an outlet that you could have ideas for, if you've already identified that, what are you doing now? How is more reading helping you in this setting? Is it helping you to attract that magazine as a potential customer for yourself, as something that would potentially assign you article ideas? If not, then why are you still reading? Okay, so this is the kind of thing that I'd love for you guys to kind of keep in mind. Identify, attract, and retain. And I have several slides to dive more into this that we'll look at. Now, this last one is the only definition I have up here that really talks so much about the specific activities of a marketing department. And I hope that you will notice that this might not be the specific activities that you think about when you're thinking about marketing. Marketing departments perform the research companies use to identify target markets and how to promote items to them. Market-centered research includes the use of tools such as surveys, focus groups, and questionnaires to become familiar with the needs, preferences, and motives. I really should have bolded that. Needs, preferences, and motives, okay, of primary target markets. This research is also used to develop or enhance company offerings. The marketing department also conducts competitive analysis to compare the company's solutions to those of other providers. Along with market research, competitive analysis helps to form the basis of the company's benefits messages. We're going to get more into this. Remember this later. Competitive analysis to compare solutions to those of others and to form the basis of your benefits messages. Okay. So you'll notice in here there were a couple specific tools mentioned: surveys, focus groups, questionnaires. Now, I don't think that most of us have the ability to send out surveys, focus groups, and questionnaires to our potential editors or tour companies we'd like to do blog posts for or whatever that is. So obviously for us, the identification of target markets and how to promote to them is going to happen differently. But thankfully for you, the people that you guys are all trying to reach, often there are several other different type of companies in different markets that are trying to reach them as well, whether they are providers. If we're looking on the side of you're looking to write content for companies, and there's a lot of people who are trying to reach out to them, and there's a lot of data out there about how they're working, what they're looking for, what they're spending on. And HubSpot, we talk about this a lot in our content marketing webinars, but HubSpot, that's spelled HubSpot, HubSpot, they have an inordinate amount of resources on what content marketers today are looking at, spending money on, spending time on, what their priorities are. On the editorial side, you might think less so, but no, because press people are trying to get in front of editors in order to get the editors for their in-house written sections to write about those places. So the websites of, for instance, the associations for PR people, different PR agencies, lots of other places are also covering what editors need, how to get in front of them, and trends in that vein. So there's a lot of sort of sideways ways that you can take advantage of this research being done by other people to help fuel yourself. There's in associations that are kind of dedicated to magazine publishing. There's associations, like I mentioned, for PR people. There's associations for magazine editors or freelance editors as well, where they'll talk about trends in the marketplace and different things like this. So there's a lot of ways. Again, you can also go to a conference and meet editors and have a chat with them, of course, but there's a lot of ways at home where you can kind of do a more sort of like indirect way of the surveys, focus groups, questionnaires to be familiar with the needs, preferences, and motives of your target market, whether that's on the side of magazine editors, companies that could use content marketing, even tourism boards, right? Tourism boards also have a lot of people trying to pitch them different things. They themselves are also in associations which are providing them with educational content about whatever their biggest needs are right now. So for any of these target markets, guys, you have so many different ways to be learning about them, okay? And as you'll note from these definitions up here, right, you haven't really seen much about that the marketing department's job is to do social media, blog, website, this and that. And it's not because I cherry picked, okay? These are like the top definitions that come up because this is really the job of marketers, okay? And I was reading something that said the job of the marketing department is to manage change because things change so quickly. And what they really meant was because the way that prospective customers receive information, want to receive information, their preferences, their needs, and their motives for purchasing change a lot. So the single best, most important thing that you can do to make your marketing of your freelance business most effective is to keep up on what's going on, okay? I'm just gonna kind of say that as like a side thing. We'll talk about a lot of other stuff, but I hope that you're getting that from this definition. Now, additionally, we're going to talk more about research and what that looks like, but I just want to make sure that we understand that you are not doing marketing, that marketing doesn't exist if you are not pointing whatever you're doing at a certain type of potential customer for a certain reason, like they actually are a potential customer, like they could make a sale, in a way that they are likely to receive that information with the information that will help them make a purchasing decision. Okay, so in the case of editors, right, like we go back to that perennial example of the, hey, do you want a story on Macau? And I'm pretty sure that particular pitch was delivered over the phone, right? So that may or may not be something that that editor even has a place for. Is that a place that this was Hemisphere, so United Airways, right? Does United Airlines fly to Macau? I think so, probably, maybe on a partner airline, right? But then what kind of story would that be Is that something that he would accept from freelancers? What kind of information does he need to make that decision? Okay, so if you think about this, it helps all of your marketing activities, whether it's specifically a pitch to a magazine or a content marketing pitch or a letter of introduction to a trade magazine or a letter of introduction to a job ad, it helps you know exactly what to put in there, right? You need to be clear on who you're writing this to and what they need before you sit down to write, because otherwise, what on earth are you writing? You don't know, like, even who this person is, right? So if it's a company, for instance, that you're applying to a job ad you saw online, go check them out. Go see what are they actually doing currently. It'll dramatically change whatever you're going to write in your letter of introduction, okay? And why are you reaching out to them? Is it because they, in this case that I just said, they put an ad up, right? But let's go deeper than that. They put an ad up because they put an ad up because they realize that they just can't do this in-house and all the stuff they're putting up is kind of crappy, or they're just not getting it up, or whatever that case may be, okay? And then what information do they need to make the decision about you, right? What information could you provide them so they don't have any other questions? So it's super, super clear to them that the next step is to start working with you, right? And how do they want to receive that? It's really funny because, like, whenever we put ads up for writers, we put very specific things in there about what information we need to have in order to even consider them. And it's amazing how many people leave it out. Like I have some statistics. It's like, I didn't pull them up for this, but I'm pretty sure it's something like only 23% of people even sent us all of the things that we asked for to consider them. And this is something where we took the time to write it out, right? So if somebody isn't listing, here are the six things that you must do to be considered for working us. Imagine how much smaller that percentage is, right? So this is how you get to stand out in your marketing. But let's keep digging into what marketing is, okay? The activities of marketing. So a lot of people forget this for in a freelance writing business because you think of yourself like as a solopreneur that just has, relationships with a couple customers here and there, right? But part of a larger marketing setting includes advertising. In fact, let me just double check. Many marketing departments have something called a media buyer. Now, I know this is like kind of, it's a little bit hard to read on the screen here. You'll be able to get it in the slides and zoom in, but it just wasn't a super huge image and I already blew up a little bit. Here is like the very prototypical structure of what needs to happen in a marketing department today. Okay, so if you look on the far, I'm tapping my screen, not that that helps you guys. If you look on the far right-hand side, do you see there's somebody called a media planner? It's in the third row down on the far right. A media planner is the person, it's also called a media buyer. This is the person who's responsible for the ad spend of a company, tourism board, whatever. Okay. So, as I was saying on the previous slide, advertising is part of this. We're going to look at a little bit more about how this works for you guys in a second. But let me just go through this chart quickly to show you kind of how marketing plays out today in terms of the different hats people wear. Because as we did in the very first webinar in this Freelance Business System series, was we talked about this idea of how even if you are a solopreneur, you're still wearing 25 or so different hats of all of these different roles that you have to perform because you're the only one. And the marketing department tends to be one of the areas that has more hats than others. So let me just look through for a second what these different hats are, okay? So the CMO, the chief marketing officer, is at the top, of course. Sometimes in a smaller company, this might be a different word, but we'll just go with chief marketing officer for now. Now, underneath them, you'll see three things. So there's a brand director, a comms or communication director, and a digital director. Now here's where it starts to get kind of hinky. There's a lot of different stuff going on here, okay? So let's start with this brand director. So the brand director is responsible for the brand image. We're going to get to more about this in a second. So part of that is people who are responsible for consumer insights. So this is that research part that we were talking about. And that goes into the brand director directly. And then the brand director disseminates directives based on that to some people who are ad buyers, right? Media planners, to some people who are in charge of retail marketing. What does that mean? This is the people actually setting up the customer experience. So the display in a store, if it's a physical store, also the things that are said to customers in the physical store. Same thing in that sort of conference setting that I was talking about. Now, for you guys, what that looks like is if you are going to be in a place where you're meeting customers, What are you wearing? What is the greeting that you use? What is the very quick one line that you say about yourself when people ask you what you do? Okay, that's what retail. Retail means like very much in person relations. That's what that looks like. And the brand managers, these are people who are maintaining the style guides for how that brand is presented in all of its marketing. So this might be, what font do we use? What words do we never use? What tone do we go for in our writing to convey our brand? I know I've been talking to some of you guys about this in terms of how you come across with your writing, whether in pitches or on your website or on your social or whatever. But the brand manager in a larger company is the one who's responsible for setting that tonality. It's often visual guidelines in terms of colors. Again, like I said, sometimes fonts, but for setting that out through the organization. And this is a really cool, quick thing that can help you with a lot of decisions down the line if you think about how you want to kind of come across, whether that's in terms of what sentence structure do you want to use, you know, if you're going to pick like three adjectives that you would say define the sense that you want to create for your potential customers, again, whether magazine editors or otherwise. Now you'll see underneath this comms, it goes straight to PR managers. And again, we're going to talk about PR and promotion down the line. Now, on the bottom, I just want to explain because this looks a little weird. There's this kind of bar that says agencies, and then there's these little things on top. These little boxes that are floating above the floating agency panel here, these are all different agencies that a company could hire out to manage these different functions. So that has the brand managers and PR people we were just talking about, and then some of these other things on the digital side. So on the digital side, in-house, a company might have producers. So these are people who produce marketing content. Search, these are a whole department of people who are responsible for search optimization, right? And then again, media planners. So this is on the buying side. But also, you know, this is also going to be people who are planning media campaigns. So below that, on the agencies, you see people might have an agency for social. They might have an agency just for analytics, which is actually super common, by the way. Analytics is just becoming a huge area of marketing, but a lot of times people can't get a full-time, well-trained analytics person in-house, so they pay an inordinate amount of money for outside analytics companies. And likewise, maybe people who specialize in email marketing. So those are some of the different activities and people that might be in a marketing department. But here's really, like, if we're thinking about what is the marketing in terms of deliverables that any given organization is trying to create, this Venn diagram is crucial. Now, just let me know in the chat box, those of you who are on today, how many of you guys have heard about owned, earned, or paid media in the past? These are terms that are very, very, very commonly used by people on more of the company or tourism board side. And I'm always struck by how infrequently writers are familiar with these terms. So owned, earned, and paid media. And people will often just kind of say like owned and earned and paid, and they won't even say media. But these are words that are kind of thrown around a lot in marketing circles. And it's interesting because I looked at a number of different images of the Venn diagrams to kind of find one to include for you guys today. And they all kind of had different focuses in terms of what they included. I picked this one even though I don't like the graphic, but because I feel like in the words they kind of touched on more things. Now, earned media, this one talks about two. Traditional media, which would be print, TV, radio, outdoor, I think by that. I'm not really sure, actually. I was thinking they meant billboards, but now I'm not really sure because that's advertising. So social media then is going to be mentions, shares, reposts, reviews. So earned media, the idea of earned media is anything that's said about you that you are not involved in the creation of. Obviously, we, as magazine writers, we know that typically someone is at some point involved in that article, whether as an interview or perhaps, you know, as part of the trip that allowed that article to happen, whatever. But for the sake of argument, these things where you haven't explicitly paid for the content to appear or people have the ability to say whatever they want, this is really the important thing, is earned media, okay? Now, paid media is any form of advertising, okay? So this could be pay-per-click, this could be display ads, this could be social media ads, and also paid influencers. So we had a really interesting chat during the My First Press Trip event last week about what is the difference between somebody who has a website on which they review restaurants and they don't get paid for it, but maybe the restaurant is comping the meal, okay? Versus somebody who's doing a campaign where they're getting paid for their expenses, but also their time and their deliverables, okay? And you'll see how it's switched from being reviews are in earned media to paid influencers are in paid media. So it's effectively a form of advertising. Owned media is everything that's you've produced, websites, blogs, social media, which can be any of these channels, and so on and so forth, email. So this begs the question, and this is how marketing works generally. A lot of this stuff seems like it's totally not transferable to a freelance business, right? So let's have a look again at this in that vein. Obviously, when we think about owned media on the left side here, that's pretty clear, right? You are writing on your blog or on your social media channels or in any email marketing that you may be doing as a freelance business, which I know a lot of people aren't doing, things that should theoretically be in line with the marketing that you want to be doing, right? So what about earned media? There are some-ish places where people could be reviewing writers. Typically, that would be like in a network like Contently or something, but it seems a little weirder. How would earned media work? Well, don't worry, because next week in the promotion time, we're going to talk all about earned media, because really that's what earned media is. It is promotion, it is PR, it is stuff that has appeared independently of you. But what about this other piece of the pie here on the right side, paid media? I know that most people don't consider this. If people think about paying for anything having to do with marketing, it's usually paying to have somebody do like their social or their blog or something for them, which happens less in a freelance business where you're service-based like a writer, because you're not trying to have as many customers come in. But I will tell you that with the way that search works today, to pay for some, whether it's like more through Google, a pay-per-click ad so that you show up for a certain search result, can be very powerful. So I want you guys to keep in mind that not only, I'm just going to go back a couple slides, not only is advertising a big part of marketing and companies such that they have media planners, as you'll see on both sides of this chart, but for us as freelance writers, it's still part of the pie. And it's a part of the pie that a lot of people don't think about. It's a part of the pie that you can use very creatively as well, okay? So I just want to put that out there. I don't want to talk about too many different tactics and whatnot that you can use for that, but I just want to remind you, advertising is part of marketing. And if you think about it in terms of the amount of time that you're putting into various things versus throwing a little money at a Google ad, you might feel like it's worth playing with rather than throwing a bunch of time into something that you feel like is getting you less results, particularly if you're doing content marketing work, like you're trying to reach out to tour companies and things like that for writers. Okay, now this is one definition of the marketing department that I didn't put on that main slide because I wanted to come back to it later. It is the marketing department's job to reach out. Remember we talked about inbound and outbound last time, right? So this is all kind of this idea of reaching out, okay? To reach out to prospects, customers, investors, and or the community while creating an overarching image that reflects your company in the positive light, okay? So let's look at that list of different constituents that they listed there. Prospects, customers, investors, and community in that order. So prospects are people who are not yet doing business with you but have the potential to. So again, here's the question. Are the people that your marketing efforts are currently reaching out to people who actually do have the potential to do business with you or not? And I don't just mean in terms of them spending money on people for writing, but with you specifically and at this moment in time. Customers. People don't always think about marketing to their existing customers, and this includes, unfortunately, I know I always harp on you guys about this, repitching places that you've already done an article for, okay? Now, this is another really interesting one that I just wanted to dive into for a second. We talked about this a lot more in the finance side of things, but who are the investors in your business? This can be in terms of time. This can be in terms of taking away the time that you would otherwise spend with them. This can mean a lot of different things. And so when we talk about marketing as communicating with these different constituents, keep in mind that that includes people who facilitate your work getting done in one way, shape, or form, okay? This is something that I often have to remind not only myself, but sometimes I'll be talking with people about, you know, getting their work done, and there's some sort of thing, well, oh, you know, I can't because, and it's something like, I would really like to do it while we're traveling in XYZ place, but people don't understand. They just think that I'm ignoring them. I've heard this one come up a lot, okay? And marketing, aka communicating and maintaining a relationship, is how you, I don't want to say fix this because I don't want to say it like it's broken, but it is the answer to having it all in terms of being able to maintain those relationships in a way that is not only healthy for the time spent with the relationship, but in terms of the understanding as well. Now, community, okay, this is the last one listed there, but I want you to also think about that. When you are doing, they didn't call it exactly marketing, when you are reaching out to the community, what is that community and what is the goal of that work? And so let's look at this idea about goals. Let's get into this idea of creating this marketing plan. So the very first step is to decide in what light exactly do you look best, right? It said reaching out in a way that portrays your organization in a positive light. In what light do you look best? What are the ways that you are different from other writers out there? This is actually a question that we have in our coaching application form because A, I want to know what this person's position in the marketplace is, but I also kind of want to know how aware they are of it and how they express it, okay? Because that's a really core part of any type of marketing that you are doing for your freelance business. It's knowing what your strength is and then knowing what your strength is related to other people in the industry. So for some people, their strength is that they previously worked in a different area that is not travel writing, like perhaps being a lawyer or something like this. And because of that, they are completely accustomed to incredibly tight deadlines, doing very, very, very deep research, and writing things that have to be impeccable factually. Okay? That's a particular type of advantage, competitive advantage that comes from your background. Now, for some people, your best light is highlighting that you are part, for instance, of, a jet-setty luxury travel subset, and you know what expectations those people have, and you know how they like to travel, and you know what they look for when they're on the road. In some cases, it might be that you live in a certain area where not a lot of other people who speak English or whatever language you're going to write in live. Okay, I actually had somebody who was a writer from Europe who was living in the US, and this was her advantage in reverse, was that she was able to report on things that were happening here, but in her own language rather than in English, okay? And there wasn't so much content of that variety going out. Now, once you know what is your best light, what you have going on, then you also have to think about highlighting that. How do you infuse that into your marketing? So remember when I talked about this kind of marketplace design, whether it's a conference table or a stand in a farmer's market or whatnot, there's this idea of how do you put your best foot forward? How do you shine the light on what it is that you want to be known for in a way that's simple and not distracting? So let's say that you live somewhere in Central America and that's a core competitive advantage for you and something that you want to be known for, then the backsplash on your writer's page should be a gorgeous photo of this place, okay? The clips that you list don't need to be all of your clips, but they should be the clips that relate back to this thing, okay? Just for a couple ideas. Now, I mentioned during the sales webinar, last one in this series, that we were going to talk about how that ties into marketing and how it ties into promotion. We've talked a lot about how things tie into promotion, but I want to tie back to a couple things that we talked about in the webinar last week. I've used the same slides. I'm going to kind of add some information and build it into marketing. So at the end of the webinar on sales, we talked about these three things, that if you do nothing else, you should focus on conversions, business growth, and customer retention. Now, for the sake of this discussion, we mean conversions as closing prospects. So having, discussions with editors that actually turn into assignments, okay, rather than email threads that kind of die on the vine. And perfecting your pitch craft so that you increase the rate at which your pitches result in assignments, for instance. Business growth, meaning increasing your overall revenue numbers. It could also mean an increase in diversification, for instance, of different sources from which your writing income is coming. And then customer retention is keeping your existing clients because that's less costly in terms of marketing acquisition cost and sales closing cost than getting new clients, but also getting more business from your existing clients. So what does that look like in a sales setting? Remember we talked before about this identify, or sorry, in a marketing setting. We talked before about this idea of identify, attract, and retain. So identify, this becomes research, right? We've already looked at how important this research study section is, right? Communication is how we do that attraction. And then, of course, customer retention activities are how we retain. So with the research, this can be researching who is your ideal customer, both that you actually want to work for, and also what is that person or that subset of people actually like. Then looking, who is your competition? If you put in the keywords for the type of writer you want to be known for, who's coming up now? Where are they writing? What is their writing like? And what advantages do you have over them? How can you position yourself differently? Then we've looked already in this call at this idea of trends. What are the trends in your space, whether that is in terms of how the writing is being done, how the hiring people, whether that's editors or marketing directors in companies, if you're doing content marketing, like to be communicated with? What technology can you use to make your marketing easier? What is the most cost-effective type of marketing for you? What metrics do you have from previous work of this capacity that you've done from previous campaigns, even if you didn't think of them like that? Then for the communication, this is working on the writing or visual craft of what you're sending out, the copywriting techniques and the psychology, the planning of your overall campaigns, and the measurement of the results of those campaigns. On the retention side, this is communication that touches your customers throughout the relationship, that grows or continues the relationship. It's interesting because communicating with customers, we have a whole webinar dedicated to this coming up in the series. I believe this month it is. And this didn't used to be considered part of marketing. And it's interesting how that's become part of marketing. And part of it is because customer retention has become so different in the digital age, for instance. So what part of this list of things are you not focusing such an equivalent, there were like three things, right? So you could think 33% each percentage of your marketing time on. I bet you're not spending so much time on the research bit, whether that's researching about the industry or the competition or about your ideal customers. Okay, I bet we're all spending a good bit of time on the communication bit, but maybe not necessarily in terms of really sharpening your axe type things, in terms of the copywriting techniques, or maybe in terms of measuring the results of your campaigns. Okay, I know some of you guys are really good about that, and maybe not so much on the research side. But then there might be some of you who don't have a plan, a process for touch points with your customers. So I've worked with people before who are doing content marketing gigs that they, you know, have set up in a monthly retainer model, for instance, on creating what is our plan for what emails that we always send to companies throughout this process, okay? And I have actually something that we'll be adding hopefully soon to the webinar library that's going to help with that as well. So what is this plan that I talked about? It breaks down into these steps, okay? So what do you want to be known for? And make sure it's special enough and it's competitive enough. Who are the potential customers that you want to reach out to that you'd be happy working for? Who's already serving them? Who's the competition? How are they serving them? At what price? And what features or benefits do those people have rather than you or rather than others who've been trying to hit those editors or hit those companies? Someone just told me on a call the other day that they wanted to do content marketing to a specific subset, and they realized that the same freelancer was already doing the content marketing for all of the customers that she was interested in. Okay, this is really cool. Figure out what that person is doing, all right? What message do you need to tell these potential customers? And how do you actually do it? How do you get in front of those potential customers in a reasonable amount of time for you in a way that's a campaign that you can measure? That right there is going to slough off half of the content marketing work or other type of marketing work that you're considering, okay? How can you do it in a reasonable amount of time in a way that you can measure in a campaign? And what worked and what didn't? And how are you going to do it differently next time? Okay, so we talked about this last time in the sales setting, that you need to have clear priorities, you need to have clear outcomes, and clear guidelines, and clear goals. So what is the actual goal of your marketing? Are you trying to land a new client, a specific type of new work? Do you need to earn more money? Do you want to be known by who? How can you do that in a way that's so clear what the result is that you will know if you have it, okay? I get a lot of times I get very squishy goals from people, and then how can we make a plan? Because if we don't really know what the outcome looks like, we can't figure out how to get there. And then once you know that, it'll be very evident what needs to be done to make it happen. And when I say what needs to be done, I mean things that you can actually put on your to-do list, and that's something that gets done. Pitching is a series of tasks. It's not just one task. So these things that you need to do to make your marketing happen should be very, very discreet. You need to be doing social media posts of X type with Y regularity. Okay? So keep this idea in mind as well as we head out of marketing, and next week we're going to go into this promotion. Marketers are like the pinnacle of this idea of good artist copy, great artist steal. Who else out there, whether it's your direct competition, somebody in a different space, or someone in a similar space, is already doing the type of work that you want to do? Figure out what they're doing. What are they doing on social? What are they doing on their website? Copy it. Don't try to figure out what to do. Look at what's already working well for others and do that same thing. Okay, so next we'll be talking promotion. And then we'll be closing out this more communications side with, like I mentioned, the customer service communication portion. And I will talk to the rest of you either very soon or on our next webinar. Thanks, guys.